This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Well, as I mentioned before the break, I grew up attending a church called Holy Cross Lutheran Church. This church that I served for 9 years as a parish pastor was also called Holy Cross. In fact, the full name, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Holy Cross, that doesn't necessarily cause anyone any kind of confusion. Churches bear all sorts of names like that. It's significant, though, that we would call a church by the name of the cross, wherein Paul will say things like, "Far be it from me to boast in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ." The church observes on this day Holy Cross Day. It is a day for the cross, another matter altogether. And what about the crosses that fill our churches that are often marking us as Christians? And why is the cross less and less popular in pop American evangelicalism? Joining us to observe Holy Cross Day, explain what it's all about on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 14th, Pastor Scott Kinneman. He's senior editor and consumer products developer at Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Pastor Kinneman, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be with you, Todd.
Isn't this day, or maybe I'm wrong, to associate this day with kind of things Roman Catholic?
Well, we would have a sense that it is Roman Catholic. I mean, after all, it was Constantine who inaugurated the day back in 353 with the erection of the basilica. But really, the cross doesn't belong to just Roman Catholics. The cross is the heritage of all Christians. It's a symbol of our salvation, the salvation worked out for us by Christ who died on the cross. And as such, it belongs to all of us.
What exactly is the church observing on this day?
Historically, as I said, the church is observing when Constantine's mother, Helena, supposedly found a piece of the original cross of Christ. The day was set up as an observance by Constantine himself some 35 years later. But beyond that commemoration of a relic, Holy Cross Day allows us to focus in on the work of salvation done by Christ, and that's what we're honing in on.
So we are not just remembering a matter of history, but probably even more so remembering the one who hung on the cross.
Absolutely. Jesus Christ. You know, his work on the cross gave us our freedom from all our sin, from hell, death, and every evil. And for us Lutherans, when we talk about the Holy Cross, we also remember our baptism, because it was at baptism that we received the sign of the cross, both upon our forehead and upon our heart, as we say in the rite of baptism, that marks us then as redeemed by Christ the crucified.
Then let's talk about the centrality of that. I mean, one might say, why isn't Holy Cross Day every day in the Christian church? How central is this teaching?
Well, I think the best way to talk about that would be to look at Paul's words to the Corinthian church in the first letter of Corinthians, chapter 15, where he says, "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." See, Paul says that this is of first importance that we talk about a Savior who died, the Savior who died on the cross, who rested in the tomb, and who was raised. Paul says this is the most important thing that we as Christians have to talk about, and that we as pastors have to say.
How is this day historically and then today properly observed by the church?
Historically, it's been observed as one of the Ember Days, one of the seasons of repentance that has been historically marked in the church. And so the Ember Days for Holy Cross would be Wednesday, Friday, and then Saturday. The proper services for days of Ember Days would be services of repentance, along with individual confession and absolution, leading to the Lord's Supper then on Sunday.
In the past, how has it been, what shall we say, improperly observed?
Improperly observed, you have things like the parades through the street with the cross being raised and adored. I would also say probably in some of the more improper observances is when we start seeing crosses without a corpus, without the body of Christ on it.
Why do you say that?
Well, because we're forgetting the purpose of the cross. It's the cross itself is not worthy of adoration. It is just a piece of wood or its resemblance thereof now. But it is Christ on the cross that is worthy of our adoration. The work that was done in the fulfillment of the plan of God for you and for me to be brought into as children of God, adopted through the blood shed there on the tree.
I don't know if I saw you there. Maybe I did spy you there. We might have even said hello a couple days ago. A big installation service of the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri, Senator Pastor Matt Harrison.
Absolutely.
There was what some might have found an unusual thing, although it's not unusual in many Lutheran churches. The beginning of the service started with a very long procession that was led by a crucifix, an actual crucifer, a young man, carried a crucifix in. Everyone followed, and the entire congregation turned to face this crucifix as it both entered and passed by. What's going on there? When this happens, why would the church do something like this? Someone looks at this and says, that looks like adoration of the cross.
When the crucifer, which is the bearer of Christ, brings the cross in ahead of that procession, what we are acknowledging by our reverencing to the cross, as we turn to face it, and as we follow it to the front, is this presence of Christ coming into our midst. It stems back to the very old necessity when the service was beginning. The presiders had to make their way through the crowd, and it was that cross that symboled, here are the presiders. And what's important about the presiders in the service, the pastors, is they are the ones who are going to be bringing that word to the congregation. And so the cross is announcing, here is not Christ on the cross anymore, but here coming behind us are those who will speak to you the very words of God, the very words of Christ. And so we're not adoring the cross, but we acknowledge by its presence that Christ is coming among us, and specifically he's coming among us at that very time in the words of absolution, in the words that are going to be read from the scripture, in the expounding of the word from the sermon, and from the word being acted out among us in the sacrament. That's what we're acknowledging when we see the Christ come in, the crucifix come in ahead of a procession for the service.
Is that essentially the same reason that individual Christians and sometimes pastors before a congregation will trace the sign of the cross in the air or on themselves?
Exactly. And for us, as we trace it upon our... Well, let's back up just a minute. When the pastor is tracing the sign of the cross, as it's part of the blessing, it's that sign that was given again at baptism. When we take that sign to ourselves and mark it at certain times of the service, say with the speaking of the doxology, maybe after the Lord's Prayer, maybe at the recitation of the Apostles' Creed, or at marking the words of Christ during the institution of the Lord's Supper, we are taking that to ourselves and reminding ourselves of what Christ has done for us. Remember earlier we said that we receive the sign of the cross in our baptism. It becomes our inheritance. It becomes our property, so to speak, as a child of God. And so when we say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we mark ourselves with the sign of the cross, it's our family symbol. It's as dear to us as a coat of arms is to any family. It reminds us who we are and whose we are.
How would you respond to someone who says that the crucifix, which you say is to be recommended as a symbol of the cross, is a Roman Catholic thing.
Again, we as Lutherans tend to want to, you know, eschew anything that sounds and looks like looks Roman Catholic. But as we do that at times, we also divorce ourselves from things that really are essential reminders for us. Many of the commemoration days, many of the saints' days, are neglected because it sounds Roman Catholic, and yet we have this ability by using the commemorations, by using saints' days, to tell the story. That's the purpose of the whole church here, is to tell the story of salvation. And Holy Cross Day allows us an opportunity to tell that story. Today we get to tell the story specifically and remind ourselves, you know, outside of Lent and outside of Good Friday, Holy Week, we get to tell the story to ourselves and to those who are listening and are around us of a Savior who died. The plan of God from the very beginning of creation to redeem us and the world. And it's through his son, Jesus Christ, that redemption is happening. Holy Cross Day gives us an opportunity to remind ourselves, to tell our children, to instruct one more time who this Jesus is, and to give thanks and praise and honor to him for what he has done.
When we come back, we'll have about another 15 minutes with Pastor Scott Kinneman, observing Holy Cross Day here on Issues Etc., along with the rest of the church, on this Tuesday, September the 14th. Pastor Scott Kinneman is senior editor and consumer product developer at Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. When we come back, you know, we've criticized, say, for instance, Eastern Orthodoxy for not making the cross the center of its preaching and its message. The response often from that quarter is, well, we devote an entire day to the Holy Cross. What's wrong with that observation? Are you looking for a new devotional resource? Well, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is titled God Grant It, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase God Grant It by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Christ-centered, cross-focused devotional resource, God Grant It, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. Now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
We like to do this occasionally, every once in a while, hold a little contest here on Issues Etc. We're doing one for our Facebook friends, and there's only just a little bit more than 2 weeks left in this contest. What we want to do is ask you to help us by inviting your Facebook friends. Everybody's got friends on Facebook. You know how it works if you're on Facebook. Invite your Facebook friends to become Issues Etc. fans on Facebook, our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Here's the contest part of it. We're going to give away two $50 gift certificates to Concordia Publishing House. And we're going to give them to the person who invited the most Facebook friends or the person with the best invitation to their friends to become a fan of Issues Etc. on Facebook. So what you're going to need to do is send a message to all your friends on Facebook, inviting them, make it creative, try to invite as many friends as you can, and then send us an email at contest@issuesetc.org with the content of your invitation and the number of friends that you invited. Then on October 1st, we will give away those two gift certificates to Concordia Publishing House to the best invitation and to the person who invited the most friends. The email address, again, you send your invitation to us with the number of friends that you invited, contest@issuesetc.org. Pastor Scott Kinneman is our guest. We're talking about Holy Cross Day on this September the 14th. Scott, when I've lamented the lack of emphasis on the cross in the homilies and the sermons preached by, for instance, the Eastern Orthodox priests, we will often hear this response. Well, we observe the work of Christ on the cross on Holy Cross Day. What's wrong with that kind of observation?
To limit Holy Cross, you know, this is kind of the opposite of what we're talking about, to limit your speaking of the cross and Christ who died on the cross to just today. Well, I think many times we just want to go to Easter so much too quickly. We want to go to the empty tomb. We want to, you know, show the cross on the Monday after Easter as opposed to the Friday before. Show it empty, and we then miss emphasizing. We then miss the proclamation of who Christ is. If we have a Christ who did not die, we don't have a Savior from sin. If we have a Christ who was not raised, we don't have a Savior from sin. It is both the death and the resurrection together that gives us not only the story, but gives us the truth and the reality of what God has done for us. We need them together. And so then on every Sunday, we need to hear both that we have a need for a Savior who completed that work, which is his death, a Savior who was acknowledged by God as being righteous and not needing to die, and thus raised from the dead, so that we can then have the entire story, the entire reality of the forgiveness of sins worked out through Christ proclaimed to us, not just on Holy Cross Day, but every Sunday, and truthfully, every presentation of the gospel.
For the whole first, I should say half at this point, of my ministry as a parish pastor, I served a small congregation called Holy Cross.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the old name was the Evangelical Lutheran Congregation of the Holy Cross, as many Holy Cross churches are today. Talk about how it is that churches and a lot of these churches were founded on Holy Cross Day, not coincidentally. Talk about how it is good that churches take names like this to themselves.
When we take names, the congregation I belong to is Emmaus Evangelical Lutheran Church, which is obviously commemorating the time after the resurrection when the disciples were walking with Jesus to the road to Emmaus. Whether it be Holy Cross, St. Mark, St. John, these names help us mark the story of salvation. And we are remembering then what has been done. We are tying ourselves not to a community now. You know, it's not, you know, Park City Lutheran Church, so to speak, but we're tying ourselves to a line of those who have taught before us. We're tying ourselves into a community that stretches beyond who we are. We're tying ourselves to a truth that has been proclaimed for generations and generations and centuries now.
We often lament as well that many evangelical churches not only no longer display the cross as a symbol in any form, even the bare cross, but are less and less often preaching the cross of Christ as a central message of their regular preaching. Your thoughts there?
Well, one has to wonder, when we get away from preaching the cross, are we preaching the same Jesus? Are we preaching the same Christ? Because there is really no salvation apart from a Savior who died. When we start talking about a Jesus who is a moral leader, who is an example for living, when we talk about a Jesus, you know, who, you know, we can go to and say, what would Jesus do? And we talk about everything that he would do except for dying, because really that's the one thing that we can't somehow manifest in our own lives. It's the one thing that he models for us that we can't do ourselves. It was something that he had to do for us. And so to preach about a Christ who is beyond death, or who did not die, or to de-emphasize that reality, really has to make you wonder, who is their Christ?
Finally, then, make the case. Why should the church and Christians today be observing Holy Cross Day?
Holy Cross Day is our opportunity to tell the story of who our Jesus is. It is to tell the story of both the magnitude of our sin and our desperate state that we are in because of our sin, and it is to then tell the great good news of a Father who loved us so much that he planned to send his one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins, and who now chooses to see us through that Son, through his suffering, through his dying, given to us so that we do not have to suffer and die as a result of our sin. Also, a resurrection that from the dead that Jesus gives us as well. So that through the cross, we see in microcosm the entirety of the salvation history. We raise that cross before our eyes on the altar to keep us focused on Christ who died. We raise it in procession to announce to all who are seeing, we are doing something special. We are doing something to honor the Christ who died and was raised for us. And we mark it on ourselves to remind us we are ones redeemed by Christ the crucified. Holy Cross Day is really no better of a day than any Sunday, than any opportunity to proclaim the gospel. But it does give us an opportunity to raise it up and say, this is what is special. This is what marks us as Christians. This is why we do it among us. And to have an opportunity to do that and teach and to catechize along the way on account of this is a wonderful thing to be able to do.
Then with only about 30 seconds before we let you go, what can you tell us about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, God Grant It Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther, that we're recommending to our listeners?
God Grant It is a series of sermons that have been divided up into devotional chunks by C.F.W. Walther during the latter years of his life. It's an excellent devotion. It reads very, very well, and really, it gives you an opportunity to hear almost, you know, in great words, one of the foundational teachers of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Folks, you can find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, God Grant It, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order God Grant It, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Scott Kinneman is senior editor and consumer products developer at Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Scott, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd, for having me.
I love this quote when you think about Holy Cross Day, and it is one day, no greater than the others, but on this day, like all the days observed in the church year, we focus in upon the central thing, all these days, ultimately, observed by the church, are finally about Christ and his saving work. Listen to this. Faithful cross above all other, one and only noble tree, none in foliage, none in blossom, none in fruit thy peer may be. Sweetest wood and sweetest iron, sweetest weight is hung on thee. That's why Christians so highly value this symbol, because of the one who hung there on the cross. Another great theologian of Lutheran memory once said that the tree of the cross is the tree of life, and the fruit of life is hanging there upon it, the very body of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that makes good for our sins before God. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.